fulfill what God has called us to do, then we need to be whole. And here comes the gospel. But many times we are resistant to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, either through denial. Well, I have to work hard. I have to do this. I have to do this. And a lot of times, as I said a while ago, it's a way that we're trying to earn acceptance. And I know people who try to earn acceptance with God. Let me tell you something about God. You can never earn acceptance with God. God loves you just like you are. He loves you where you are. You never can ever, ever, ever earn the love of God. One book that I read, and if you haven't read this book, write it down and get a copy of it and read it. It's called He Loves Me, Learning to Live in the Father's Love. It'll set you free. It'll set you free. It shares biblical principles about God's love for us. See, we live in a wage-earning society. But with God, you don't earn anything. God chose you broken, hurt, and He set His love on you, and He wants to do a work in your life. And just knowing that can set us free. Last week, we talked about the paradox of control. We talked about learning that, and this, what I'm sharing with you is simple. But let me say, it's deep if you think about it. You can pass it over and not think about it and just let it get out of your mind. But if you really take time to meditate on this and think about it, it has some deep implications with it. Last week we talked about that there is a God and you're not it. Because a lot of times, even as Christians, we acknowledge the existence of God, but we don't give God the control in our life. And the paradox that we talked about last week is the fact that in order to gain control in our lives, we have to be willing to surrender control. When you hold on and you try to control and manipulate your life, it will get out of control. Oh, I can handle that. Here's the truth of the matter. Most of the time, we make the wrong decision. We wind up making the decision that hurts us the worst, thinking that we're making the right decision. We try to be in control. And that was the issue in the garden. See, Satan told Eve, he says, you know what? God's holding out on you. He don't want you to be like Him, because if you're like Him, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. Well, she was already like God. They were already like God. And with Satan, he was offering them or trying to trick them into taking control of their life. See, we are not designed by nature to control our lives by ourselves. We are designed for God. We are designed by God for a relationship with Him, that through that communion, we are in control of our lives, but it's through that communion that we have with Him. What happened at the fall, that communion was severed. Man seized control of his life, and mankind from that point has been destroying himself. He has been self-destructive. And we by nature are self-destructive. And one of the reasons is that we have the tendency to be selfish. Sure is quiet in this house. So, you know, last week we talked about there is a God, and I'm not it. And I need to learn, if I'm going to get on the pathway to health, then I am going to have to surrender control of my life to Him. Now, that's one of the first principles that we want to talk about of health. Today we're going to talk about... Now, this is deep, because here's the scripture we're using. It's in Hebrews 11:6. And this is talking about faith. And it says this: anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek him. This describes the lifestyle of faith. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. You say, well, preacher, I know God exists. Why do we live as though he didn't? See, we want to put, if we're not careful, we wind up putting God on a shelf in our life. And we get him off the shelf when we need his help. That's not why he exists. He wants to be the focus of your life. He wants to bring meaning to your life. And we have to, in order for that to happen, first of all, that first pathway to health is that we have to learn how to surrender control to him. But here's something that helps us do that is the fact that we, first of all, there's three things. Number one, that we acknowledge that God exists. Sometimes you have to remind yourself of that every day. God, I acknowledge you. You exist in my life today. It doesn't hurt when we pray the prayer to make Jesus Lord. It doesn't hurt to renew that from time to time and say, Lord, today I acknowledge you as Lord of my life. I need your help. I need your guidance. I can't do this by myself. I need you, Holy Spirit, in my life to lead me and guide me into all truth. You exist, and I acknowledge your existence. See, it says, listen to this. It says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen in nature. You can look at nature and know that there's God. There is a God. You can look at the creation. I'm not trying to endorse books, but there's another great book. And I've tried to read this two or three times and have read it a couple of times. It's because I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And you can look at nature and know for nature to be, there has to be a God. See, the Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, somebody says, I don't believe in God. Well, the Bible says he's a what? He's a fool. He's a fool. The overwhelming evidence of God's existence can be proven by the creation. So acknowledge God's existence. And number two, and this is where it gets important, is understand God's character. If you don't understand God's character, his existence won't matter. Now, I spent this whole series, this last series that we did called Pictures, and we looked in the Old Testament and we tried to show you pictures of God's heart, pictures of God's plan, pictures of Christ in the Old Testament, and to let you know that the God of the New Testament and the God of the Old Testament is the same God. They have the same nature, they have the same character, they have the same heart. They are in total agreement. But somehow, and I don't think mom and dad taught me this, but somehow as a kid, I got the idea that God didn't really like me. Maybe you can identify with this. I wasn't raised in a legalistic church. I wasn't raised in a condemning church. Some of you were raised in very legalistic churches and very condemning churches. And it's almost every sermon was almost like, okay, God's going to get you. If you do that, you're going to hell. If you're doing that, you're going. Anybody identify with that? Anybody raised legalistically? You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. God don't like you. And I had the idea that I was such a bad person and I was broken like everybody else. But I just didn't really think God liked me. And if you don't believe that God likes you, if you don't believe that God loves you, You don't understand his character. And it can be a roadblock for you to find the path to healing. Listen, if God doesn't love me, I'm in trouble. You know, my wife could cease to love me. My family could forsake me. There's a lot of people that can turn their back on you. But see, the good news is God says, I will never leave you, nor I will never forsake you. Now, that's good news. I don't care who you are. That's good news to know that. We have to understand that. We have to understand his character. We have to understand his heart. We have to understand what he's about. I get mad when preachers say, you know, God will give you cancer to teach you something. Oh. Would you do that to your child? Now, God might scold you. God might correct you, but he's not going to give you cancer to teach you something. He's not going to break your leg just so he can show you how much he loves you. If you break your leg, he'll love you. If you get cancer, he'll love you. But he doesn't do those things to teach us. We get wrong images of God because we've been taught wrong things about God. We need to understand the character of God. He's a healing God. He's a healing God. He wants you to be sound, especially in your heart. I believe spirit, soul, and body. But we got a lot of soul sick Christians that can't be what they're supposed to be because their life is dominated by fear or some kind of other compulsion that's based on a lack in their life. We need to find the pathway of healing. And part of that has to do with understanding God's character. What he's like. What he's like. You know, sometimes you don't understand somebody until you understand their character. We talked a lot yesterday in my dad's memorial service about his character. And one way to understand my dad, you had to understand what was important to him. And one of those things was integrity and honesty. And you knew you didn't lie around him. You'd be in trouble big time. You could do lots of things, but you did not do the things that he thought was important. You understood that he was all about that. And the same way with God. He has a character about him. And as we begin to understand that. And Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. See, Jesus said to the disciples one time, he says, one of them said, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have you been with me so long that you've not seen the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are testimonies of what Jesus is about. Those are testimonies of what his character is about. We see him going about doing good, healing those that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That's what God's about. God needs for you to be whole. God needs for you to be whole because he wants to complete his work in you. See, when you get born again, even before you get born again, he starts a work in you. He starts by drawing you and wooing you. When you accept him as Lord and Savior, your spirit is recreated. But the work is not complete yet because there's still a big void in your heart because there's so many areas of your life that are goofed up, the way that you think, the way that you act, some character issues, and he wants to perfect that. You know why? Because he wants to use you as an instrument of his grace. We don't need Christians getting in the way of God's work. We need Christians that are performing the works of God. And if I've got a huge character issue in my life, then it's going to affect the way that I represent God. So I need to be well. I need to be healed. I need to find the pathway to health. And these are principles. Understanding God's character. See, one thing that I need to realize is that God knows all about my situation. He knows everything there is to know about me. He knows where I'm strong. He knows where I'm weak. He knows where I'm afraid. He knows where he understands my personality because he gave it to me. He gave me my graces, my gifts. He knows everything about me. He knows me. He knows about my situation. And here's another thing in understanding God's character is that he cares about my situation. You cannot go through anything in your life that God doesn't care about. This is still a little tender to talk about, but I just want to say this. You know, and I didn't talk about this a lot when we were going through, but Dad was in the hospital for 50 days. And we spent 50 days, many times, two times a day, hour or 2 hours at a time, sitting up there with him. But one of the great things, say, well, didn't God care about that? Yes, he cared a lot about that. And we knew that he was going. He wanted to go. He was tired of living the way that his physical limitations, and he was ready to go. But that letting go process and that all of that and you know, the things that you don't want to see happen, every one of us, Mom prayed certain things that she wanted to see, and you know, there are things that I didn't want to see happen. And I want to say this. God cared about our situation, and God answered every one of our prayers just like we prayed them. He cared about us. He cared about our situation. And a home going that could have been very difficult was very peaceful. He went with his family around him. It was just like a miracle. Didn't y'all think that, family? Didn't y'all think that? It was almost miraculous. And you know, we didn't want to see him go. But God cared about us in the middle of that situation. And it was just a wonderful, you know, when it was all over, I just said, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your grace. So much that could have been devastating was not devastating. Praise God. So God knows about my situation. He cares about my situation. You know, it says in Psalms 103, verse 13, 14, it says, he is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic, for he knows what we are made of. Guess what? It's about dust. Dust. God knows where you're weak. And even when you can't talk, he still cares about you. He still cares about your circumstance and your situation. Even when you fail to measure up. And this is why I always say, when you mess up, run to God. Don't run from him. He's your solution, not your problem. What did Adam do? He ran from God. What do? We run from God. Run to him. Run to him. Yeah, but he might be disappointed in. He knew you was going to do it. He's already made provision for you. Run to him. He is your help. He cares about your situation. He knows that you're just dust. Then the last part of this is that God can change me and my situation. Now that's important. We want him to change our situation, but here's something that he wants to do in the midst of that change. He wants to change you. Because a lot of times, not every situation, but many times it's our actions that get us in the situations that we are in. I don't understand why this keeps happening to me. Because you keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over and over. Well, I want God to rescue me. He rescues you. You turn around, you go, you do the same dumb thing. You get right back in the middle of it. I've done it. Here I am again, God. I've messed up again. You've ever done that? God, here I am for the 50th time. I need your help. What does God want to do? He wants to change me and my situation. Guess what? If he changes me, if I let him change me, guess what's going to happen to my situation? I'm going to quit doing the dumb stuff that got me in that situation. I am going to be better off. I need God's healing. You need God's healing. We play this game where we lie to ourselves. Well, the first thing that we talked about is that we need to acknowledge God's existence. We need to understand his character. And the third thing is to accept God's offer to help. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose." Did you see that? God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to choose his purpose. See, God's working. He's working on you. He never quits working on you. He's there to give you the will and the power to achieve his purpose. Now, a lot of times we want to choose our purpose. And that's why we're always frustrated, because we keep trying to do everything our way. It's not what God wants for us. Many times is not what we want for us. And we're always pushing against. God's at work to bring you right back to center, to will, and the power to perform the purpose that he has for you. Can I say this about God's purpose? I didn't want to be a preacher. There's a lot of things that I'd rather done than being a preacher. I had a chance to take over my dad's business. Traveling salesman. Made good money. Made good money doing it. Didn't have to put up with... people's problems. Just had to sell them stuff and get money. It'd been wonderful. I wanted to coach. There's several things that I wanted to do. You know what God wanted me to do? He wanted me to do what I'm doing. I am so happy that I chose his purpose and not mine. I don't know where my life would have been if I had gone against the purpose of God in my life. It would have not been good. I have had the most blessed life that any man could have, serving God and serving his people. But I wanted to let God work his purpose. See, he had to work on my will. It's not what I willed. Even Jesus said, "Father, not what I will." Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. The cross was repulsive to Jesus. It would be. He says, "Not what I will, but what you will." See, God will help you with your will. And then he will give you the power to perform his purpose in your life. See, we have to enlist God's help. We have to accept God's offer to help. How do we plug into God's power? This is simple. Yeah, how many of you know that some things that are simple are not easy? This is a simple statement, but it's not necessarily always easy, because we struggle with ourselves. And it's two words: believe and receive. Believe and receive. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you go through deep waters and great troubles, I will be with you. You won't drown. When you walk through fires of oppression, you won't be burned up." See, Mark 11 talks about believing and receiving. Romans 10:9 talks about believing and receiving. See, you have to believe something, and then you have to make the decision to receive that into your life. That's how we begin to accept God's offer to help us. We believe it, we see it in His Word, and then we have to consciously receive it into our lives. That is the beginning of the pathway to God's healing. See, what we want, Brian, many times is we want God to come up with His little fairy wand and tap us on the head and just make everything all right. The problem with that is what we wind up doing, because the situation might be right, but our heart is still not where it needs to be. What He wants to do is He wants to work in us to change from the inside to the outside of the situation so that it's never repeated again. And that's one of the reasons that some things are passed from one generation to the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. And we call it a generational curse. But let me tell you something better. Let's finish this on a good note. The attributes and the characteristics of God can be passed from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. There are things that I learned from my mom and dad that they instilled in me that we have passed on to our children. And we believe that they're passing those on to their children, and we're helped doing that. Why? Because we know that the blessing of God can be a generational thing also. I see families back here that they raised their families in faith. They raised their children in faith. Now their children are walking in faith, and many times they'll do more than the generation before them. Isn't that the way it should be? You know, I look at Brother John Osteen. Anybody remember John Osteen? Just a few. You know who John Osteen is? That's Joel's daddy. That's Joel's daddy. John Osteen built a great church in Houston called Lakewood. A lot of people think Joel built that church. No, John laid the foundation for that church. He was a faith preacher. That dude, he was like a little banny rooster. He could preach. Golly, he could preach. He wasn't a teacher. He was a preacher. He inspired you. John passes away. Joel had only preached maybe once in his life. But he had been behind that camera watching his daddy preach, and he had been working with his daddy all of those years. And what he didn't realize that was happening in him, his daddy was sowing into him. And when he took the step of faith, when he believed and received his calling, that church exploded to the next level. But you know, a lot of that credit goes back to John Osteen. It'd be amazing to see what happens with the next generation of Lakewood. I'm looking for greater things to come out of that. That's the way it should be. We shouldn't diminish from one generation to the next. We should increase from one generation to the next. That is why, man, I love young married couples that are raising their children in church. And they're sitting under the Word, and they're being influenced by the Word. I'm looking for them to outdo you, Mom and Dad. I'm looking for them to be greater in the kingdom than you have ever been, Mom and Dad. But we've got a job to do. First of all, we've got to let God work in us. We have to pass that on to the next generation. We have to pass on a healthy heritage to our children and our children's children. Amen. There is a pathway of health, and it is based on the principles of God's Word. These are simple, and we're going to increase with them. We're going to go on and on and on with them, but I want you to get these into your thinking. We have to acknowledge God in our life. We have to learn to turn control over to Him. We have to trust his character. We have to know that he cares about us. And you know what that does? That builds the foundation for our faith to work. Amen. I want to pray over you today. Father, open our hearts. Open our hearts. Help make us willing to see you in a different way.